Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Genpai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So one of the things that I had a chance to do while I was in New York City is to drop by Eclipso, which is kind of a local distributor for Excurio projects. So this is kind of like the large scale location based entertainment where they can have like up to like 120 different people per hour go through some of these different experiences. And so these LBE experiences that you take these kind of walking tours, you know, I had a chance previously to do the Eternal Notre Dame. I'd seen the Impressionists at Venice last year, but I wanted to try to, you know, actually walk through it to see the difference. And then also had a chance to do the Horizon of Khufu, which is probably one of the most popular experiences that I've done so far. You're kind of taking a guided tour into the pyramids, but also through the pyramids and then into like these magical historical boats that are flying through the air. And so you're changing scale. And it's just a really powerful use of immersive technology to take this guided tour of a place like the Great Pyramids in Egypt. So I had a chance to catch up with the CEO and co-founder of Excurio, Fabian Baratti, at the Augmented World Expo. I'd previously talked to him back at Laval Virtual in 2023, and also their business development manager for the U.S. territory, Jules Rambeau. And so we had a chance to talk around some of my experiences from going through the latest immersive expeditions that were there in New York City. They're opening up to new ones, and they're also going to be opening up to other independent producers. And so if you have some ideas for these immersive expeditions that you think might make a good translation into this location-based entertainment format where you're taking a guided tour through these different places, then definitely reach out to Jules Rambeau and yeah, just get a little bit more information, because I really think that what Excurio is doing is maybe the first inklings of what we're going to see in terms of this location-based type of entertainment at this large scale. It's kind of like the movie theater of embodied and interactive XR. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Fabian and Jules happened on Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, at the Augmented World Expo in Long Beach, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
I'm Fabian Baratti. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Excurio. At Excurio, we do what we call the immersive expeditions, which is LBVR adventures, big ambition, huge experiences, and they are distributed all over the world in 23 venues currently.
And I'm Jules Rambeau. I'm the business development manager for the US territory. So I'm mostly in charge of expanding the network of venues we have. So for now, we have one venue in New York, soon to be in Chicago, and we will be opening other venues all across the states. Stay tuned.
Maybe you could each give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into the space.
So I co-founded the company 20 years ago, and before focusing on the immersive expeditions, we were more of an agency creating content and tools with VR, with AR for clients. So for different use cases like cultural mediation or brand experiences, mostly for luxury brands. And following all those references with our skills, we decided to focus on the immersive expeditions.
And as for my background, I've always tried to bridge the gap between culture and new technologies, I would say. So I met Fabian 5 years ago when Fabian and Excurio was launching the format of immersive expeditions. And I also worked in other projects such as the Free All, which is a project with AI. It's a project with artists and the Guggenheim in New York. So yeah, it was pretty natural for me to work for Excurio because it's like very outstanding technology with very accurate cultural content.
And so it seems like that over these different immersive expeditions that you have had a number of different interesting collaborations with art museums and other like Notre Dame. And so maybe you could talk a bit about this pivot from working for 20 years in the space, starting to have some social assets, but then to have what is essentially what I think of as like the movie theater for XR, which is like you have lots of people going through these spaces, anywhere from 90 to 100 plus people per hour that are seeing this content. And so you're able to get this walk through a space and navigate and negotiate people not running into each other, or at least, you know, trying to do wayfinding that has them take these different paths. And so, yeah, it's a really innovative distribution of like, what is the exhibition of this work look like? And I think this is a really good profitable example of that. But yeah, just curious to hear a little bit more around the development, evolution, and starting to work with these cultural institutions and started to develop these walking tour / immersive story type of experiences.
So when we were working with customers, we were already trying to tell stories in a new way using those new technologies. And we were already in touch with the, I would say, the end consumer. So when we work for museums and also when we work for brands, it was always for, you know, the someone who was not aware of what we were going to say inside the experiences. And so we decided to scale this. We decided to create a format, a standard, to be able to duplicate and to, as you say, try to do something like the movie industry, but for VR. So that's why we decided to create venues. That's also why we decided to create a dedicated software that we use to operate very efficiently the immersive expeditions. And obviously, we also produce the content in-house. So we also have our studio. So we do all of that at once to try to create this virtuous circle around this new ecosystem.
Yeah, maybe you could just give me a sense of the growth that you've seen over the last couple of years. You said, you know, 23 different venues. And like, it seems like from what I've talked to Miriam Achard from Fi, that it's been very successful in terms of getting it out there. So I'm just curious if you can share a little bit about what kind of success you've been seeing so far.
Well, yeah, actually, I mean, so far, XQ launched the Immersive Expeditions like 3 years ago, and we've gathered like 3 million visitors worldwide. And at the beginning, there were no 23 venues. So it's very new that we are over 20. And as for North America, we have like one venue for now in New York. We will have another one pretty soon in Chicago. We have 3 other venues in Canada. And we started with Canada because we knew an operator very well over there, Studio Fi. And it was very successful. In the first 10 months in Montreal, they gathered 250,000 visitors in 10 months for Horizon of Khufu. So we see a huge potential in the US as well, in Canada for sure. And yeah, there will be a lot of new openings. And since we'll be also opening the platform to other creators, there will be new titles available in our VR venues.
Yeah, so I've done both the Notre Dame, Horizon of Khufu, which I, when I was just in New York City, I saw it, and then the Impressionists. And I've done the Impressionists and Notre Dame at Venice, where I was sitting down and watching like a modified version of it. And so it was nice for me to be able to see both the walkthrough versions and also to see what it's like to be with other people in it while I was doing it. But also when I did the Impressionists, I happened to be able to see it without other people. And so just to get a sense of it. So I feel like in some ways, it's almost better to not have other people occluding or getting in my way. And so it's nice to not have them occluded. Also notice that when I would get within, you know, 5 or 10 feet of a wall, then there'd be like a red chaperone that would come in and start to include the experience. And so it's sort of negotiating this interesting balance between needing to get a certain amount of throughput, but then with that throughput, there's other people that are in the experience that are not always additive because they're maybe getting in my way, or, you know, they're just this kind of ghostly characters with a grid. And it's more presence breaking in the sense where I feel less connected to the virtual space when I have those different types of occlusions that come in. And so just curious how you start to negotiate that or navigate that, because there's wayfinding software that you're using, but there's also like just the need to get as many people as you are. And this may be just a part of the trade-off of, rather than having like a premier flawless experience without any obstructions with other people, that this is the cost of being able to even exist as a business, of having lots of people go through it. So just curious how you start to think about that.
Yeah, so first you have to imagine that those experiences are supposed usually to be experienced with other people at the same time. I mean, in your own group, so with friends, with family. And so you see those people as avatars with a name on top of it. That means that you are used to see other people as avatars. Nonetheless, I agree that you can also see, obviously, the other groups around you when you get close to them. And we are working on ways to make that more discreet, right? So you don't lose this presence feeling. That's obviously very important.
Yeah, and I found that sometimes the spaces were different. And so, like, as I'm getting close to the wall, those are also coming in. And the idea is that if I started to just walk and move very quickly, I would run into it. But I also felt like in some cases it was far enough away that I didn't want it to be coming in. So I just curious how you negotiate what that distance is in terms of when you start to bring in the chaperones for the walls and what you found in terms of, you know, what is going to make a safe experience.
Yeah. So we have a whole system exactly for safety. So depending on your speed and also for people in wheelchair, I mean, for people that are accompanying someone in wheelchair, they will see the walls further away for example. So we have a whole system made for safety, and obviously that's extremely important. We're also trying to find ways to make things more discreet, but it cannot undone the safety behind.
Now, when I went through Eclipso in New York City, they had either Horizon or Kofu or the Impressionists. And so they were saying, if you join as a bundle, you would have to do the same experience. And I'm just curious, because there was two experiences running at the same time, and they might be opening up like a third here soon. In terms of the pathing for how people are walking through it, like how many do you think you could have at the same time? I got the sense that like if you're buying a bundle that you would have to see the same experience, but I was just wondering like if they're buying the ticket at the same time as a bundle, then would it be possible for them to like go off and see the other experience, or just some of the reasoning for clustering people together? And if you imagine a future where, you know, you could have a group of 10 people and they could see 10 different types of experiences and go through it all at the same time, if the system you think would be robust enough to start to scale up to a variety of different experiences as you move forward.
So technically, it's completely possible to choose your own experience. It's just that you won't be together, of course, because the path in the space will be different. We have also multiple paths per project in order to, you know, try to evenly have the visitors inside the space. But in terms of more commercially speaking, when you buy a bundle for a specific project, the money goes to the co-producer of this project. And if you change the experience, you're going to see the money is not supposed to go to the same co-producers. So that's why it has to be also very thorough.
And I'm curious to hear just in terms of what you've been seeing in terms of the excitement around this or the success from these different locations. And yeah, how is it going as you start to develop the other locations and what you're seeing on your end?
Well, actually, as for the US, I would say it's really thriving, and we've made like quite a big noise in the press, in the media outlets. We got ranked, we were very honored to got ranked like in the top three of the most innovative XR company by Fast Company this year. We were also amazed and honored to be ranked like the Horizon of Khufu experience in New York is in the top 10 of the top 10 best thing to do in New York by Time Out. All the reviews are amazing. So we feel like there is like this willingness and this hungriness of people to try new experiences that they can do with their friends and their family. And I think this is what we provide. And it's at the crossroad of education. It's educational because you'll get to visit the pyramids, as an example, for Horizon of Khufu. And we always co-produce our content with like experts and renowned institutions. And it's also fun. So you will be having entertainment as well. So I think we take all the boxes, and we are obsessed with the content, and we are also obsessed with the user experience. And I think we can see now the outcome is very positive.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on the process of making Horizon of Khufu, because, you know, it has a lot of what you could consider like a more traditional tour that you might get if you were actually in Egypt, but then you start to lean more into like the types of things that you could never really actually do, because either you don't have access to some of these places, or you wouldn't be able to holographically fly through the pyramids and to see the larger picture, or, you know, to go on top of the pyramids, and you take us on flying boats. And there's a lot of awe-inspiring things that you just wouldn't be able to do if you were actually going on a tour of the pyramids. And so just curious to hear a little bit about your process of really leaning into the affordances of VR in terms of scale and taking us to places that you wouldn't be able to go before. And yeah, just a little bit more around the process of making Horizon of Khufu.
Yeah. So usually we want, with the immersive expedition, we want to give access to what's inaccessible. So it's possible to enter the pyramid in real life, but it's not possible to go inside the core of the pyramid, to be on top of the pyramid, to change scale, to go back in time. And we provide that with Khufu and with actually every other immersive expedition. And the process to create one immersive expedition is really first to discuss a lot with experts. So in the case of Horizon of Khufu, it's Peter Manuelian, who was a chair of Egyptology at Harvard, also in the project Giza Archives, who worked with us very closely to validate all the reconstitutions and also all what is said by the characters. Because inside the immersive expeditions, you are guided by characters, guides that you follow during the experience. And they are not only giving you explanations, giving you information, they are also creating a narrative, right? And because Horizon of Khufu is not just a guided tour. It's also a bit more than that. There will be some magical things happening. And the narrative is very important. We work with different authors to be able to entertain and educate the visitors efficiently by staging and also by the script. So it's a very full project.
And I saw that there's a new one that's either launched in some places or are coming soon to Eclipso. So is that your fourth experience? And maybe just talk about your new experience that's coming out.
Yes. So it's actually our fifth immersive expedition. So Life Chronicles is coming to New York this month. Life Chronicles is about the history of life. You go back 3 billions of years ago to attend the beginning of life on Earth. And then you jump through time and you will discover a lot of different species. And it's incredible. It's like being in a sci-fi movie and you travel through time. But the last immersive expedition that was launched in France and also now in Turkey is called the Last Stronghold. The Last Stronghold is a medieval experience. It's a bit like Game of Thrones, but in a really historical context. So fortress, knights, Inquisition. It's a lot of things, a lot of things. And it's some innovation from the other immersive expeditions, like interactions, more freedom, different paths that you can take in the same environment, a lot more quality put on the characters as well. So it's you have to check it out.
What was the name of those two?
The Last Stronghold.
Okay, so The Last Stronghold, is that the fifth or that's the sixth?
Fifth.
Okay. Okay, so, and that hasn't opened yet, or is it?
It has opened in France and Turkey.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like you've got a couple of other ones that are starting to get released at other locations. So I've seen three of them that have released so far, and two of which I saw at Venice sitting down, and three of the other ones that I saw walking through. And so when I saw the Notre Dame one, I saw it first sitting down, and then I really appreciated the difference of what it felt like to walk around, because I'm like walking around through like the history of the Notre Dame Cathedral, and I'm like feeling like I'm taking a guided tour through space and time. But also the heart of that was a piece of architecture that is beautiful to look at and like walk around. And I feel like similarly with the Horizon of Khufu, you've got this spatial context of the pyramid that is also really interesting to walk around. Sometimes you're in these closed rooms, or I'm like, whoa, we're just like in these closed rooms. I could see this anywhere in VR. But I appreciated then how you continue to like innovate and take us to other views of the pyramids that we wouldn't be able to get otherwise. But then when I did the Impressionist piece, sitting down and then walking, I felt like that was a piece that had a little bit less of a focus of a story of a place. It's less about Paris, and it's more about a time, and but also the people of that time, but also the paintings. And so I found myself, as I was walking through the gallery spaces, not having the same difference between seeing it from the sit-down version versus the walking version, which was interesting to see how big of a difference it was between the Notre Dame sit-down versus walking through, but also the Horizon of Khufu. I could also imagine that there is a power of like walking through and noticing like vast, awe-inspiring architectural contexts. So I'm just curious to hear some of your reflections on, you know, what is the real sweet spot of these immersive expeditions and the role of like telling the story of a place versus telling a story of a time or people or an art movement.
Yeah, the truth is that we are exploring, right? So we're exploring projects around monuments, projects around fine arts like the Impressionists. Life Chronicles is something else, but more about, I would say, science in a way. So we are exploring all of that, trying to tell stories so people can understand more our world. Obviously, experiences around places are very strong because you see all this architecture around you, you walk around. That's very strong. But I think also for the Impressionists, being able to engage more with characters can be strong in another way, right? It's less a feeling of embodiment and walking around. It's more a feeling of being somewhere with someone and really listening to what he's saying. We had this feeling with an old project called The Enemy that we are part of the co-production. And we understood the power of VR in a sense of really listening to someone that is virtually in front of you. And so I think this is also what we tried to do with Impressionists.
Yeah, and as you expand out, I'm just curious to hear a little bit more around, is the plan to like open up more cities? Is also like on the table to bringing other producers of content since you have these locations, and you know, to also become like a distributor of other independent content that people are producing? And yeah, just curious to hear a little bit more around the plans of where you hope to take the business here in the future.
Yeah, actually, there are many challenges and opportunities ahead. For sure, we want to expand the network of venues. But as Fabien explained, we also created a kind of unifying standards. It's like if we created like the camera and also the projector in a movie theater. And as for now, we've been using that just for Xcurio, but we want to share it with other creators. Since we have like an existing network of venues, we want to offer them the possibility to access to our platform, our free access platform, that then they will be able to create their own immersive expeditions or same format as we do at least, and they could also be distributed in our venues, because I think the most difficult thing for creator is to get access to, you know, to this mass entertainment market. And this is really key for the VR industry, LBVR industry, at least in the next few months, in the next few years. So yeah, of course, we want to expand the network, but we also want to create new opportunities, new content, and that's it. Yeah.
Love to hear some of your reflections on the current state of immersive and some of the movements like the Sphere in Las Vegas or Cosm in Los Angeles and Dallas. We have more dome content where you have lots of people seeing the same content, but they're not moving their body through space. And then there's also been other location-based entertainment that has been less, let's say, like standardized into a format that could be repeatable, like what you've been doing at Xcurio. And so just curious to hear some of your reflections on the overall immersive industry and kind of the trends that you're seeing and how you see Xcurio fitting into, like, if you do want to become like the movie theater of immersive, that is kind of like the standard format that could provide a context where you could have potentially even multiple Xcurio locations in a city, or, you know, just like we have multiple movie theaters. So just curious to hear some of your hopes for where you want to take it here in the future and how it fits into this overall ecosystem of immersive.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is that the experience ecosystem as a whole is booming, right? With a lot of different formats being created, being explored by different companies. That's very interesting. So it's more or less immersive, more or less social, more or less ambitious in terms of quality of content. So it's a lot of tests, and I find it extremely interesting. In our case, we really try to make something that is like a permanent standard and permanent standard, a new standard for entertainment, like cinema became a standard 100 years ago. So based on that, that's why we focus really on viability. And so that's why our technology, our platform allows the highest throughput in the world for location-based VR. This is also why we invest in the content. We invest in the creation of the distribution network to create this kind of virtuous circle and be able to expand this activity and make it viable, not only for us and our operating partner, but for a whole ecosystem.
Yeah, in terms of throughput, when I was talking to Eclipso, they said that they had up to like 90 people at a time in their space, but most experiences are like 45 minutes. And so what's a range of throughput that you've seen through your variety of different locations in terms of the top capacity for how many people per hour can see some of these experiences?
Well, actually, as for the throughput, as Fabien said, it's we can go beyond 120 users. So then it will depend on the size of the venue. But the threshold for this kind of LBVR adventure is we ask the operator to have like at least 5,000 square feet. So it will allow the platform to manage like this huge flow of visitors. And it works well. It works well.
Right. And finally, what do you each think is the ultimate potential of immersive storytelling in this type of immersive expeditions, and what it might be able to enable?
So that's a tough question. I think there are so many things to still explore and to test. In my opinion, immersive storytelling is very close to immersive theater in a way, especially in our case when we have to make the people move physically. And so you need to get their eyes with light, with music, with characters, with animation, with everything. And this is a very specific way of telling stories, but we are learning every day, right, around that. And we are learning also from other formats as well. Obviously cinema, obviously theater, books, everything. Even if for LBVR there is a very specific grammar we need to find, we need to refine.
Yeah, I would say as for now, because the format is pretty new, it's been 3 years, so there is still this wow effect, like people have never experienced something like that. And you know that when they take off the headset, they are just, you know, very amazed, and they've just lived something they would have never expected to live because they are not tech savvy or whatever, because we really focus on the content. And it's like, you know, when there was like this first movie that was released at the end of the 19th century, where for the birth of the cinema, The Train at the Ciota, when the people in the movie theater were afraid that the train would get to them and would kill them. There is a kind of this still this experimentation with general public right now. Well, they are doing the experience. They are like having like they can be scared of the height and so there is this kind of thing. But I think it won't last forever. And I think people will be more and more requirements to what they want to live, what they want to experience, and that there will be like new requirements and new, probably, you know, people would like to see things they know already. So maybe with like major IPs or with like very different kind of topics that could be explored through this format.
Awesome. Well, I really enjoyed having a chance to check out all the different experiences from Xperia so far. Like I said, I feel like it's pushing forward like what we can expect like the movie theater of XR might be. And yeah, I'm really excited to see where you continue to develop more content, have more locations out there, and for more folks to be able to see what you're doing. So yeah, it's really exciting to see that there are some real profitable ventures for taking this type of content and getting out to audiences and to really have it resonate as it is. So yeah, it was a real pleasure to be able to get to check it out and to have a chance to talk to you again here today on the podcast. So thanks again.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you very much, Ken. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a listener-supported podcast, and so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.